Good morning. So, a lot of you may be wondering, who's this guy? You know, that's not Pastor Dave, right? And you're right, I'm not Pastor Dave. And I don't have a pastoral degree or anything like that. But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Oh, I think I was already on this slide, I guess, huh? Whatever. So, funny business aside, I'm Zach Foudy, and I've been a member of Mercersburg Mennonite for about 6 years now. And I'm very thankful that I've been given this opportunity to come up here and talk to you guys this morning. So, as it normally goes, we'll pray, and then we'll get right into it. So, let's bow our heads, and dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that, you know, everybody was able to get here nice and safely this morning. I'd just like to ask that the words that I speak today would not come from me, but they would come from you. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, because I accidentally went further than what I should have, I'm sure you guys maybe saw, but today we will be talking about living a life in prayer. So, this is something we've all been doing our whole lives, right? We've always been praying, yet the real question is, are we doing it right? So, I've got three different topics here today to talk about when it comes to prayer. We have, what is prayer? How should we pray? And praying amiss. So what is prayer? Prayer is thanksgiving. Prayer is confession, remorse, or request, and worship. Now there is so many important things in the life of a Christian There is nothing more important in the life of a Christian than having a prayer life. So many of us think of prayer as a religious duty or as a burden. But I'm telling you right now that once you fall in love with God, prayer will not be something that you have to do, but it will become something that you love to do. Now, prayer has to be the driving force of a Christian's life. You can have all of the power of the Holy Spirit and God in you, but if you don't have a prayer life, then the power that is inside of you is not going to be able to flow through you. It's like you're standing next to an electrical outlet and you're just never plugging into it. It's like you're standing next to the power of God, but you're never actually connecting to it. You're never actually letting the power of God flow through you. We have to stop looking at prayer as a chore or as a burden or just some boring religious activity, boring religious conversation where we repeat the same thing over and over again, like, now I lay me down to sleep, or God is good, God is great. Prayer is an incredible privilege that God has given us, and we need to start getting into a lifestyle of prayer. Now, if I told you all that tomorrow at 6 o'clock, Jesus was going to be at Starbucks, and you would get to sit with him for an hour face-to-face and talk to him, every one of you would show up. But yet when we examine our prayer lives, we realize how prayerless we are. And it makes it clear that we don't truly understand the ability we have as Christians to communicate with God. All of you can say, you know, Zach, that's entry-level stuff. We know that we can communicate with God. Then I ask you this. How much time did you spend praying last week? Right? How much time, and how much time did you spend watching sports or Netflix, or your favorite TV show, or scrolling through social media? Like, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. The list can go on, right? These are called distractions. They are damaging to our lives and our relationship with Christ. Friends, this is called being a lukewarm Christian, living a grasshopper lifestyle. Too often we have this issue of when we go to enter the place of prayer, we get tired, right? We get bored, and we fall asleep. The enemy loves this. They are after our prayer life. Being lukewarm is basically telling God that you don't excite me, that you're boring. Friends, we cannot live this way. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, whose minds the God of this world, right, the God of this age, lowercase g, that's Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do we not understand the influence that Satan has on this world? 2 Corinthians 4:4 is telling us Satan is the God of this world, and he has created these distractions because he hates when we pray. God has allowed for these distractions to test us, to give us a choice in whether or not we stand firm in our prayer life and build a relationship with him, or if we become one with the world. He does not want us to be spiritually weak, right? He does not want us to be spiritually weak. He wants us to thrive and be on fire for Christ. In Romans 12:3, Paul says, to make sure that we do not think we are better than what we really are. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. If Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth and couldn't thrive without prayer, then how much more should we pray? Why is it that every other religion, right, in different countries that worship false idols will spend hours upon hours each day praying and fasting, and yet we don't give God, the one true God, but 5 minutes of our time? So American churches need to step it up, okay? It's great. I really like the Wednesday prayer nights that Pastor Dave is doing. They're awesome, you know. But we need to carry that prayer, not just on Wednesdays and Sundays, but throughout the week. And come on, like, if Christ showed the example of the essentiality of prayer, how much more should we be giving to prayer? In the Old Testament, David said, I give myself to prayer. So, how should we pray? Philippians 1:4 says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. The key word here is, he had joy when he came to praying for them. Joy, not a burden. Paul is saying, I didn't have to do this. Imagine not feeling like, I've got to pray for my aunt. I've got to pray for Michael. I've got to pray for my wife, my cousin, all these wretched people. Imagine feeling like, it's a joy to pray for these people. It's a joy to pray for my mother, my father, my pastor, and it's a joy to pray for our community. Now, why don't we pray with joy? We don't pray with joy because we don't think God is really going to answer our prayers, and we think prayer is random. Prayer is not random or blind. It's not a game of chance. It's not like going to the casino, which you shouldn't be going to the casino anyways, like, okay? But for the sake of this topic, we act like if I pull this lever and all the sevens line up, then I hit the jackpot. Why are you so shocked when God answers your prayers? I pray for these things, and then I'm shocked when God does them. You know what my shock tells me? My unbelief. When I say, I can't believe God did that. I can't believe he answered my prayers. Prayer works. You know what that tells me? That tells me my unbelief. If I truly believed in prayer and prayed with a targeted, focused prayer as Paul does, then I wouldn't be shocked. Corrie ten Boom, which if you don't know Corrie ten Boom, she and her family saved hundreds of Jews and resistance fighters in the Nazi-occupied Netherlands. She said, prayer is powerful. The devil smiles when we make plans. He laughs when we get too busy, but he trembles when we pray, especially when we pray together. Now, we need to pray with authority. Sensationalists say God's Spirit does not work through us. God's sovereign and does it himself. What are they talking about? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. It is his will to do it through you. The same Spirit that brought Christ from the grave when he died on the cross is now living in you. We need to pray and believe and speak with authority. God's not living in a church or a building. My friends, you need to get out of the Old Testament. God says, I am living inside of you. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Apostle Paul asks the Corinthian believers, or do you not realize about yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? There is no randomness in prayer. We pray without ceasing. We pray with boldness. We pray with faith, and we're not double-minded. James 1:6-8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Joy shows that we are confident in God. I'm asking God to help me with this. I want to pray with joy. So I challenge you all, okay, to start a 7-day prayer routine where you just start praying with joy. You start praying with authority. And because if you're not praying with joy, you need to start praying with joy. That is, if you don't get anything today, get this. You need to pray with joy. Joy shows that we are confident. So we'll move on to our last topic here, which is praying amiss, okay? So is it possible that we are praying wrong? Some ways that we could be praying wrong are not praying with authority, not praying to God the Father, or only praying for things that benefit you. You are not praying with authority. There we go. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help him in the time of need. In Hebrews 10:19-20, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, it gives me confidence to pray with authority, knowing that in Hebrews it says that by the shed blood of Jesus, I don't have to be timid. So we move on to number two. You are not praying to God the Father. I know this one sounds a little weird, but trust me, this is probably more common than what you would think. Instead of praying to God, you are praying to Jesus. That's not right. We should not be praying to Jesus. If you want your prayers answered, then, you know, this is how you get them answered. Do not pray to Jesus, but pray to God the Father. Jesus says that we should pray in his name. John 16:23-24 says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So, how do I ask? in the name of Jesus. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we are coming to God not in our power. This is why we could have the worst day ever. We could feel all messed up, all beat up. We can feel unrighteous. We could feel stressed out. We could feel anxious. We can feel uneducated, unqualified, uncalled. And some of you may feel as if I can't make it through the tough times. I should give up. I can't do it. I'm not this or I'm not that. And I'm here to tell you, you're right. You're not this or that. You're not strong enough, right? Your righteousness is filthy rags. But guess what? The beautiful thing is that you don't have to come in your name. You don't have to pray in your name. You could have a week or a day from hell and come in the name of Jesus, because here's what we do when we come in the name of Jesus and pray in Jesus' name. We're not coming in the power of what we've done. We're coming in the power of what he's done. And we're coming in the power of what he's done on the cross. And we're given his authority, and now we're eligible with the righteousness of God to go to God as if we've never sinned. So let's move on to the last part here. Are you only praying for things that benefit you? James 4, 2 through 3 says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." So basically what this means is you ask God to do things so that they benefit your own pleasures. God is not interested in your own pleasures. It is hard to find scripture that says God wants you to live a comfortable and pleasurable life. It is more often stated that you will be persecuted and the world is going to hate you. John 15, 18 says, "If the world hates you, just know that it hated me first." Does this mean I'm saying that we won't have joy? I'm not saying that. Okay? Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus, not outward circumstances. God is our source of joy. How can I have joy when everything around me is changing? It's quite simple. God is unchanging. So I can hitch my wagon to God because God is unchanging. There are benefits of leaving everything and following Jesus. There are going to be benefits of healing, a breakthrough of love, of joy, of peace, of the fruits of the Spirit, and the gifts of prayer. It's the best life you'll ever live, but you have to understand that this idea that God wants you to go to church on Sunday and give 10%, it's just so that you can upgrade your car from the 2021 or whatever to the 2023 model, to the newest model. It's just not scriptural. Does God want you to be blessed? Of course he wants you to be blessed. But if your prayers are selfish, if our motives are selfish, then they aren't going to get answered. Next time you pray, ask what your motives are. In John 14, 12 through 14, it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So what is the right motive? The answer is that the answer to the prayer may bring glory to God. Jesus says, if you pray, I'll do anything you ask. When he says anything, he means whatever you ask. Anything. But here's the key. It has to bring glory to the Father through the Son. When you're asking God to do something, ask yourself, will it bring honor to me or will it bring glory to God? So, in conclusion, I know they'll say something, you know, but for me, I'm about done here. So, in conclusion, as you go to leave here today, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Are you praying with joy? Are you praying with authority? Are you praying to God? And are you praying to glorify God? Or are you praying amiss? So with that, we'll end on prayer. And so if we bow our heads and... dear Father, I just want to ask that as we go about our day today, that everybody would think about these questions that I've brought up, and I want you to I pray that we would be praying with joy, that we would be praying with authority, and that we would be praying to glorify you, and that we would not pray for our own selfish ambitions as we go about this week. I pray that we will make it our focus to spend more dedicated time to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.